From Troy Public Radio, this is In Focus Weekend, and I'm Carolyn Hutchison. Next week is graduation at Troy University, and walking across the stage to receive her diploma will be the longtime host of Troy University's official podcast and radio show, The Talk of Troy. Starting in her freshman year, Marissa Lacey has distinguished herself at Troy Public Radio, becoming host of the program and immersing herself in radio production and reporting. She worked closely with Joey Hudson, who recently joined me and fellow student producer Jalen Thomas. Joey, thanks for joining us today for In Focus.
Thank you so much for having me. It's a pleasure to be here.
We have two special guests whom you've worked with, and they are really getting attention in the radio world. Can you introduce them?
Well, we have Jalen Thomas, who is one of our producers for The Talk of Troy and soon to be one of the co-hosts, so we're excited to have her. And then we have Marissa Lacey, who has been the host of The Talk of Troy for 4 years and is now graduating and going on to bigger and better things, and we're so proud of her.
Marissa, you're a graduating senior. What are you going to do next?
I'm going to go back home to Madison, Alabama, but technically Huntsville, and I'll be working with WHNT as a news producer. So I just got accepted into NPR's Next Generation, where we basically find a subject and talk to them about their ideals of home. And in doing so, I met this wonderful young lady, and I spoke with her, and she talked to me about how home for her was a mental state. It was her mind, and she comes from a background where her mother is a psychologist, and now she's going into psychology. So I'm really excited. It's going to be an intense week working with NPR, but I'm excited for that.
What attracted you to focus on radio for your internship, Marissa?
So I absolutely love to talk. I can talk anybody's head off for hours. And I've always had this fascination with knowing facts and sharing these facts with people, no matter how weird or bizarre they are. I just always wanted to like share information and just get that expression from people like, oh, I didn't know that. Like, what do you have for me this week? Now, I'm not too big about being in front of the camera, but I definitely had a lot to say, and I've just loved it so much. It's like, I honestly don't know why I'm going into TV now when I'm being behind the scenes. It doesn't mean that radio is gonna be over for me. Like, I can always go back, I'll always have that experience, and I'll always have this family here.
Jalen, we are so proud to have a new podcast called Mad Melodies. Tell me about Mad Melodies and what it means to you.
Mad Melodies is basically me and Marissa, or just any of our other co-hosts who have time on the day. We find the music and Troy Public Radio, just Troy in general, and we just create that. We bring the diversity to our listeners. To me, Mad Melodies is just I've always loved music as a child, and I would just listen to the radio and find music. I've always loved music, and I believe that's how me and Marissa bonded, was through music as well as through our ROTC and just being there for each other. So I'm happy Marissa gave me this opportunity.
Jalen, how does it feel to be a popular radio broadcaster co-hosting a music show, Mad Melodies?
It feels surreal, to be honest. The child version of me is she's jumping for joy right now. She's having a blast, and I'm really honored. I am more than honored. I'm really wanting to see where this can go before I graduate, because I want to honor Marissa and make sure, like, she has to be my number one listener. Everybody else is great, but Marissa, you're going to hear from me even after graduation.
And you both have also had the opportunity to report on important news. In Selma, for instance, Marissa, you were on the Edmund Pettus Bridge where President Biden appeared. What was your response to covering the bridge crossing jubilee?
I thought that it was a great opportunity for me to go. Kyle and Joey have given me a lot of opportunities to go to events like this out of Troy, and usually I'm too busy, but I was really blessed that I was able to go to this one. At the time, Selma had just been hit by a tornado. So this is a really big deal for the community, knowing that not only was the president coming to visit them and show his support, but the community as a whole was still coming together. And when I was talking to some of these people, they were telling me the craziest stories. This one guy, he told me that he was out walking one day and the tornado came through, and he's pretty light and it just lifted him up. And he said two young men saw him getting blown away by the storm, came out there and like saved him. And he's like, oh, I would have died if it wasn't for my community, like looking out for me and bringing me back in. So knowing that a community can come together so strong after something so horrific. Being able to be that close to the president, that was interesting. It was really nice to kind of be in that environment, seeing the people that came with us. But my favorite part was definitely hearing the crowd cheer and sing their hymns as they march across that bridge. I didn't know it was going to have that big of an impact on me, but I was really glad that I went.
Jalen, you happen to be in Dadeville, Alabama, the scene of the mass shooting that happened at a birthday party for a 16-year-old. And a lot of people were following that news. You were right there talking with people in the community who were affected. How did it affect you? And what did you find out?
It affected me because those four teenagers and 20-year-old that passed away reminded me of my siblings, cousins, and family members. And imagine you are just going to a family event just to have fun, but it all goes wrong. And my prayers and grief goes out to the sister of who lost her brother in that shooting, because her day was supposed to be celebrated and it was just went totally wrong in just a short amount of time, and she lost her beloved brother.
So how did you keep your emotions in check when you were interviewing people who were so emotional in that moment?
I just pulled through. I had to pull through for that. To be honest, I don't know. I think I dissociate a little bit, just remind myself I'm a reporter, but at the same time, I'm still human. And it was really hard, because when I went to look at the memorial and I saw the gunshots going through the windows and everything, and when we walked up to the first time, it was just a feeling of grief, of sadness, because you just don't know.
Well, I want to salute both of you as hosts and producers, hosts of Mad Melodies podcast, producers of many spots, some of which have gone to NPR listeners, millions of whom there are. Is there anything else you'd like to add for your listeners here at Troy Public Radio? And Marissa, particularly as you graduate, what's next?
Yeah, I'm really excited to hand over Mad Melodies and the host position for the Talk of Troy over to Jalen. She's got some good leadership over her, and she's going to definitely excel as long as she stays on the right path. I'm excited to see what comes from her in this station when I'm gone. I'm definitely going to miss it. Definitely going to have to come back, you know.
Joey Hudson, I'll ask you to have the last word, because you have worked with these talented broadcasters on Talk of Troy, and I'm certainly a fan of that program.
So I think Marissa's influence on the station is something that, even though she's graduating and she's moving on to her career field, I think her presence here is always going to be felt. She's left an impact in terms of the standard for other people to meet that I think has changed this station forever. I can't say how proud I am of Marissa. And Jalen, since the day she came in, you know, she was so nervous, but I've seen so much growth, and I think Jalen has limitless potential, and I'm so proud of you both.
I think what we've been talking about is creating a legacy with the next generation of journalists, so I want to thank you all for being our guests today.
Thank you.
That was Joey Hudson, student mentor at Troy University, joined by the new host of The Talk of Troy, Jalen Thomas, and the previous host, Marissa Lacey, who is graduating this week. Marissa just finished a week participating in NPR's Next Gen Radio Project, and you can hear and see all of her hard work at Troy Public Radio's Facebook page and Twitter feed. Coming up, it's a case of lawn and order, and a story you don't want to miss. That's ahead on In Focus Weekend, so stay with us. From Troy Public Radio, this is In Focus Weekend, and I'm Carolyn Hutchison. And now it's time for a case of lawn and order. In April of 2022, the city of Northport, Alabama, cited veterinarian Ellen Newsom for having an organic garden on her lawn. Remarkably, she ended up facing a jury in criminal court. So investigative reporter Lee Hedgepeth joins us by Skype with the story he reported on in his Tread online newsletter. Lee Hedgepeth, thank you so much for joining us here at Troy Public Radio from Birmingham.
Good to be here, Carolyn.
Lee, I am intrigued with your online newsletter. It's called Tread. Where did you come up with that name?
You know, a phrase that a lot of folks might be familiar with kind of from the political landscape is don't tread on me, which has become a political touchstone for some folks on both sides of the political aisle. The idea behind Tread is morphed out of my reporting over at CBS 42, where I worked prior to this. The investigative journalism that I've done across the state is to just get on the ground and tell the stories of everyday folks whose stories aren't typically told.
I was interested in a story that's on Tread called Lawn, L-A-W-N, and Order, sort of a tongue-in-cheek with Law and Order. Tell us about this story and what happened.
So the story we have on Tread's newsletter, Lawn and Order, is about a veterinarian over Northport, which is a suburb of Tuscaloosa, just across the river there. This veterinarian lives in a neighborhood called Fairfax Village over in Northport, and she's lived there for a couple of years now and had kind of a traditional grass lawn and decided that she wanted to do something a little bit different. She needed something to kind of mitigate some flooding issues that she was having, and she felt like she wasn't able to use her yard as frequently as she would like. So she paid a landscape firm to come in and transform her traditional grass lawn into what she calls an edible garden or an organic garden. And this caught the attention of some neighbors who were opposed to this non-traditional view of what a lawn should look like. So the city got involved. They ended up ticketing Dr. Newsom, the veterinarian, for unlawful growth of vegetation was the charge. And so this case went to court, and I decided to head out for the trial there in Tuscaloosa.
A lot of people, they don't even like to mow the grass, but you have to during the summer.
That's right.
You call it grow and mow lawns. That's sort of the typical lawn. But this was different. This turned into an organic garden. And as the trial advanced, I mean, she went to one court and then ended up in criminal court. So what happened there?
In Alabama, you're not entitled to a jury trial on kind of the first round of criminal charges against you. So this was a misdemeanor charge that the city had charged her with violating. And so she goes to court and appears before a judge, and the judge actually finds her guilty. And she decides to appeal that decision and move to a jury trial, which she's entitled to at the appeal process in Alabama. You know, I went out for the trial, and the trial that day was the city of Northport trying to prove its case that Ms. Newsom had violated the statute of unlawful growth of vegetation. So a group of about 30 potential jurors come out to the Tuscaloosa County Courthouse there and sit for a day listening to the evidence about whether this veterinarian had violated a city ordinance and should be convicted criminally for what she'd done.
What's so funny, Lee, is the measuring stick turned out to be a traffic cone.
That's right. So the code enforcement officer for the city of Northport testified for the prosecution in the case. they're asking, how do you measure whether the grass or the vegetation in a yard is too high? And so the code enforcement officer pulls an orange cone out from behind the witness stand and says, this is 12 inches tall, and that's what the ordinance says. So anything over this is in violation of the ordinance. And so that's one of the things that defense kind of seized on, was the city's ordinance was written unclearly in a way that suggested that any type of vegetation that was higher than 12 inches, the height of that traffic cone, were in violation. And so, you know, if we enforce the statute the way the city is intending, then you're going to have to cut down your hydrangeas, your azaleas are going to have to go, every flower in your yard over 12 inches may have to go. So there was a lot about the unclear language of the statute. But yeah, what was very clear to the jury was that orange cone that the code enforcement officer pulled out from behind the witness stand during the trial.
Lee, we are talking about University of Alabama territory.
That's right.
And yet brought into this trial was a horticulturist from Auburn.
That's right. That's
Tell me about that.
Yeah, so it was interesting. The defense had only one witness. The defense's witness was a horticulturalist, a professional horticulturalist that had been born and bred in Auburn. Her name was, oddly enough, Vanessa Farmer. She was trained at Auburn as an ornamental horticulturalist. The prosecution even stipulated that she was an expert witness in the case. And so she came in to testify for the defense about whether she thought this organic garden was overgrown. So it was interesting to see a jury of a lot of University of Alabama staff members on that jury, a lot of residents of Tuscaloosa County listening to this Auburn horticulturalist and at the end of the day, siding with her.
Tell me how everything turned out for Dr. Newsom.
The trial lasted almost a full day. The jury went in for deliberations and took about 40 minutes. When they came back, the foreperson announced that Dr. Newsom had been found unanimously not guilty of the charge against her. And so that's how the case ended up shaken out over there in Tuscaloosa County.
And I think in your article on Tred, you mentioned that a number of the jurors were gardeners.
That's right. So in the jury selection phase, a lot of the questions, you know, are kind of aimed towards seeing which way a potential juror may feel about the case. So one of the things that Dr. Newsom mentioned in my interview with her, I interviewed her in her garden. We have some photos of that in the Tred newsletter. She said there were some gardeners on that jury, and I think they understand that lots of things grow over 12 inches, and a lot of that type of vegetation is desirable and something you would want to see. So she felt, and I think it's pretty clear from the decision that was made by the jury, that they felt a lot of sympathy for this vet that was kind of brought to court over her lawn.
And as a result of all of this, do you think your article and the case itself brought to the forefront sustainable garden lawns as an idea?
Yeah, so I think, you know, we've seen a few of these cases in other places across Alabama, whereas folks' attitudes about what a lawn should look like, attitudes about sustainable agriculture change in Alabama, I think we're going to see more cases like this pop up. Cities are going to have to look at their ordinances that may come into conflict with some of the new values that people are beginning to have around what a yard should look like.
So in the end, what you're saying is we may end up with fewer grow and mow lawns.
That could definitely happen. And I think one of the things that the horticulturalist Vanessa Farmer mentioned was that that may be a good thing. So a lot of the time, the traditional grass lawn isn't something that necessarily is going to help problems like flooding and problems like sustaining the flora and fauna that are native to our area. So one of the things that Dr. Newsom wanted the organic garden for was kind of to mitigate some of the flooding issues she had. And that worked. She spends more time out in her lawn now. She talks to her neighbors more now. They garden together. One of the neighbors that testified actually said she'd eaten asparagus from Dr. Newsom's garden just a couple of days earlier. So, you know, as these attitudes change, we definitely may see different front lawns across the state of Alabama.
And maybe got her money's worth because it's an edible garden.
That's right.
Lee, I want to thank you for your time today and your story. Where can your listeners read this story for themselves?
Sure. So everybody can sign up for the Tred by Lee newsletter at tredbylee.com. That's TREADBYLEE.com.
I look forward to talking with you again this year. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Carolyn. Thank you for having me.
That was investigative reporter Lee Hedgepeth, and his Law and Order story can be found in his TRED online newsletter at tredbylee.com. Thanks for joining us for the show. We invite you to tune in and hear In Focus over the noon hour most weekdays, and we're always ready for you on demand as a podcast. This is In Focus Weekend, and I'm Carolyn Hutchison, wishing you a great weekend from Troy Public Radio.